FOMO is the fear of missing out. But have you ever had FOMA, the fear of missing alcohol? Choosing to be sober can be scary when alcohol is woven into so many aspects of being social, especially here in our home state of Wisconsin. And for some people, it's a way to try to feel less anxious and more outgoing when those things don't come that easily. But have you ever been curious about what life would be like without alcohol or with less of it? Journalist Ruby Warrington is the author of Sober Curious and the woman who coined that term. Ruby, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Judith. Thanks for having me.
Well, Ruby, can we start with you describing briefly your early history with alcohol, or your boostery, as you call it?
Yeah, my booster. We all have a booze story. Booze is so so integral to so many of our lives. Often we come into the drinking culture and become drinkers without even really questioning it. And that was certainly my case. I mean, I began drinking, as many of us do, kind of in my mid-teens, at that age when, you know, you start going to parties and talking to boys. And I was kind of shy, and it helped me to not feel so shy and to fit in, I suppose. And then as I kind of go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, then as I sort of moved into the career, into my career in journalism, I found that alcohol was a way to help me feel more confident in that area as well, particularly at networking events and when it came to integrating myself in the workplace. I worked in alcoholic environment. And so there was always lots of alcohol on hand.
And but Ruby, I'm actually going to stop you there. Your Skype is cutting in and out. So we're actually going to switch over to your phone. So Rachel is going to give you a quick call. And in the meantime, I'll remind people we're talking with Ruby Warrington about her book. It's called Sober Curious. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you decided to go without drinking alcohol for maybe a period of time or permanently? Did it change the way you socialize and with whom? Or have you decided not to stop drinking because you're worried about how things might change? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can tweet us at @CentralTimeWPR. And we're going to be talking about Ruby's journey through being sober curious, what she's learned about how alcohol affects us. And we can go back to Ruby right now. Thanks for making the switch.
Thank you for that. Sorry, we were talking about the weather, right? We're having a very rainy day in New York, and sometimes my connection's not so great when that happens.
It's no problem at all. So you, like many young people, had a fair amount of drinking as part of your social life, and you did make some attempts to modify or cut back your drinking, but they weren't particularly successful. What do you think was going on?
Well, I think my drinking, it followed a very similar pattern to what I see for many people, actually. Yes, I developed a very kind of habitual drinking patterns. I was by no means drinking all day or drinking when I got up in the morning, but it was very much hardwired into my social life. And the way I was drinking was very normalized, in that everybody I knew was drinking the same amount as me. But there were times when I felt that it would be beneficial to me to cut back, whether that was because I wanted to have more energy. There were periods when I was experiencing anxiety, and I felt that actually alcohol was exacerbating that. And I would set rules, you know, I'll only drink on the weekend, or I'll never have more than two drinks in a row, these sorts of things. But invariably, I would always wind up drinking the same as I always had. And I think that's very much just the nature of the beast. Alcohol is an extremely addictive substance. Whether we identify with the kind of problem drinking that we might consider to be alcoholism or alcoholic drinking, any level of regular drinking can become habitual, and it's very hard to break that habit once it's formed.
So you were obviously kind of questioning your use of alcohol because you were kind of trying to set those different parameters that didn't work very well. When did you really start thinking that maybe you wanted to seriously reevaluate the role that alcohol played in your life?
It was after I moved to New York from the UK, and I was going freelance at the time, and really, it was quite an unstable time for me, actually. I didn't have a job. I was trying to sort of make my way in a new city, a very expensive city, and I really felt that alcohol wasn't doing me any favors when it came to having the confidence to put myself out there and having the focus and the clarity that I really wanted to apply to my career at the time. And I also was interacting with a whole different social group. In fact, a lot of people who didn't drink as much as my colleagues had in the UK. And so I was being exposed to different ways to socialize and realizing that I didn't actually need alcohol to have a vibrant social life. And the more I began to cut back, and when I say cut back, this time the difference was I wasn't putting any rules. I was just saying, I'm not going to drink and not really putting a time limit on that, and would then go months at a time without alcohol. I began to realize that actually it had been having a huge impact on my overall well-being and that I felt so much better with alcohol. Why would I ever go back to it?
So you coined the term sober curious. It's the title of your book as well. What does that mean? How is that different than the ways that we've maybe thought about drinking or not drinking in the past?
Well, I think up until recently, we've had a very black and white idea about what we would consider problem drinking. There are those people who identify as alcoholics and whose drinking may have got to a level where they've had a horrible rock bottom experience and they found their way to AA or 12-step program. Or we had normal drinkers, and that was really everybody else, wherever you fell on the spectrum of dependence. And so being sober curious means if you're one of those people who is wondering, am I drinking too much? Does this qualify as problem drinking? Should I maybe experiment with periods of not drinking? Then by my definition, you are sober curious. If you're questioning your drinking, then it means for some reason or on some level it's causing a problem in your life. And if that's the case, then I think you owe it to yourself to really answer those questions. So for me, being sober curious, like I said, it means questioning every single impulse or invitation or expectation to drink. And really answering those questions for yourself, honestly.
We got a lot of comments on the Ideas Network Facebook page about the topic. Here are a couple. Marie said, Wisconsin is a tough place to choose not to drink. I find that people assume I have a drinking problem when I tell them I rarely drink. I even stopped being invited to some outings. Sarah said, after having drunk a lot in her early years, has given up drinking. And now she says, I sometimes feel like I need to follow up with, I stopped drinking by choice. And not because I had or have a problem with alcohol, which is nothing to be ashamed of, but I feel like they stop asking questions after that. She says it's really opened my eyes as to how much our society revolves around drinking. And I think both those comments, Ruby, point to some of the things that FOMA is about. The fear of missing alcohol is having to explain or defend yourself and kind of how people are going to change how they relate to you.
Absolutely. Those are very, very common experiences that I've heard throughout the years now that I've been, you know, hosting events and retreats and obviously researching my book and living this myself. And I think that idea, I'm worried that people will think I have a problem, just shows actually how stigmatized alcohol addiction is. When it's very widely recognized now in addiction recovery circles that there are many, many shades of gray when it comes to alcohol addiction, and your drinking doesn't have to have got to that rock bottom level for you to have a problem with drinking. And I think that part of the sober curious movement has really been about helping to destigmatize the conversation about addiction and to recognize that actually we're talking about an extremely addictive substance. And if we do develop an attachment to it at whatever level, there's nothing wrong with us necessarily. It doesn't mean that we're damaged, doesn't mean there's anything to be ashamed of. But again, that we owe it to ourselves to take a step back and to reassess.
Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234. And Paul in Madison is up. Hi, Paul.
Yes, good afternoon. I heartily agree with the guest and several of the sentiments. As for myself, I came of age here in Wisconsin, here in Madison, at the brief period of time when we had an age 18 drinking age. And I gave up alcohol as a very young man. The 35 years ago next year. And as the guest said, I had trepidations about my social life without alcohol, but those were pretty quickly relieved, and I saw that I didn't need it. This just did not suit me. I did not drink to make other people interesting, as an author once said. I can't think of their name. And I have the example of some of my peers who continued to drink over the years, and I see the effect on them. Mm. Not all of them, mm-hmm. but some of them.
Thanks for that call, Paul. Ruby, it is that is an interesting idea, and some of the folks on Facebook mentioned this too, that basically when they were not also drinking, the many people drinking around them were not as much fun as they had remembered them.
It is a good point. I think it was Ernest Hemingway who said that. So thanks for sharing that, Paul. But absolutely, and Paul also brought up a really good point that relates to one of those Facebook comments. It's so ingrained in us, and we're so indoctrinated to believe that alcohol is an essential part of having a great social life, that we just go along with that. And so FOMA can arise when we think, well, if I don't drink, how am I going to connect with people? I won't get invited to parties, or I won't enjoy parties. And it's often not the case at all. It's only when we actually put ourselves out there and have a social life without drinking that we realize it's just an add-on. What's fun and what feels good is connecting with people that we care about. It can, if you've been, you know, if your social life revolves entirely around alcohol, it could be that some of those connections, when you remove the lubricant of alcohol, are not as deep and meaningful as you had felt. And in this case, it can mean, you know, doing some legwork and finding some new friends or new places to hang out. But I guarantee you, particularly with this sober curious movement really gaining in momentum and more people feeling empowered to say, no, you know, I don't feel like drinking. There are more and more meetups, social occasions, events and parties that are catering to non-drinkers.
We're talking right now with journalist Ruby Warrington, the author of the book Sober Curious, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you ever gone without drinking alcohol for a period of time? Did it change the way you socialize and with whom? And did you go back to drinking, or did you decide that you liked how that felt? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after a short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our talk with author Ruby Warrington about her book, Sober Curious, and the concept behind it. And let's go back to the phones and go to Sam in Eau Claire. Hi, Sam.
Dad, before before I came around, he was a bit of an alcoholic, and he gave it up through a program that a church was sponsoring, and that sort of replaced his drinking. He became very involved in church, whether it was, you know, leading activities or Bible studies or what have you. And I'm curious what she might have to say about someone who maybe trades alcoholism or an addiction to drinking with something else, maybe another addiction or something positive in their life.
Great. Thanks for that call, Sam. And Ruby, there you talk about how addictive alcohol is, and there are certainly some people who are more prone to addiction than others. Have you found that there are ways to make sure that someone wouldn't just be trading alcohol for something else?
It's very common. When we remove alcohol, it can leave a hole in our life, particularly if we've been spending a lot of time drinking or recovering from drinking. And so, yes, we need to find ways to address what that hole might be. And that can absolutely come from finding new ways to socialize. For a lot of people actually are coming to this sober curious conversation through having got a lot more invested in their wellness. Maybe they've taken up meditation. Maybe they've started going to a yoga studio. And that was certainly my case. I found a very vibrant community around sort of wellness practice, more holistic wellness practices. And I started socializing with these people as well as engaging in the different practices. But yeah, I think it's if you're relying heavily on alcohol, then having some kind of a support group can be really helpful. And in Sober Curious, I definitely recommend, if you're finding it particularly challenging and feel like there is a big hole in your life left behind after removing alcohol, then you have absolutely nothing to lose from finding your local AA group or even Al-Anon group or the 12-step program that's more suited to you. These programs are incredible and offer such great community support as well as a program to help you in a deeper level of recovery.
Thanks
for
that.
I think for lots of Well, I was just going to say, for lots of people who are sober curious as well, freeing up all of that time can actually be filled with great creative projects. So many people I know are, you know, spending time, launching the blog that they'd always wanted to, or the podcast they'd always thought about doing, or even writing a book. And I think it's just amazing actually to think about all of the extra precious time we can get when we remove this substance from our life.
And thanks for that call. You know, Ruby, one of the things that I found really interesting was that, as you say in the book, a lot of times people drink because they are trying to feel better about some aspects of their life, but actually the alcohol makes it worse instead of better. Here's a little clip from The Simpsons that illustrates that.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
So the cause of and solution to, and it really is easy to get kind of caught up in that way of thinking.
It really is. I mean, if you think about it, when we celebrate, we reach for a drink. And when we commiserate, we reach for a drink. When we're tired, we reach for a drink. When we're happy, we reach for a drink. It's kind of the ever-present substance. And I think that because it is so normalized in our culture to self-medicate with alcohol through those difficult times, what we don't realize is that we're actually adding an incredible toxic load for our body, for our system, and our emotional and mental body to process. So not only do we have the stressors of whatever it is that's causing us anxiety, but then we have all of this, these additional side effects from drinking layered on top. So finding other ways to relax and unwind and actually to cope with stress is really important. Meditation is an amazing, free, very easily accessible tool for that. A lot of people are intimidated by meditation, but there are so many great apps out there now that can help you begin to cultivate a meditation practice. And actually, one of the things that I've discovered that I'm so relieved about is how much more equipped I feel to deal with the stresses of life now that I don't have that toxic load of alcohol in my system as well.
We're talking with Ruby Warrington about her book, Sober Curious. And Ruby, I think some people listening to this conversation might be surprised, but you actually have a chapter in the book Sober Curious titled The Power of Positive Drinking. And can you briefly tell us what that is and why you included it?
Sure. Well, this book is not about judging alcohol as being good or bad. It's not saying that drinking is good or bad. It's not saying that sober is better than drinking. What it's really designed to do is empower people to really feel confident that they're always making the right choice for them when they're engaging with the drinking culture. And I included the chapter on the power of positive drinking to just help people to get deeper into their inquiry. If I am not ready to give up alcohol completely, then when would be an appropriate time for me to engage or for me to try having a drink? And I'll give you an example from my life. I took a short Christmas vacation to Puerto Rico last week, and I haven't had a drink for well over a year. But one night we were there and we were on a rooftop bar of the hotel, and I thought, you know what, I'll try a beer. This feels like it's a holiday. I'll have a beer. But I drank half the beer and it felt so horrible in my system that I had to put the rest down. And that's kind of where I've got to with it now. Alcohol just feels really toxic to me now. Yeah. But it's been a slow process of kind of unlearning and actually trying, you know, with a very conscious mindset a few times, what would it actually be like to have a drink? Is it really going to make me feel better? Or is that just a fantasy that I'm still buying into? I included it to allow people a little room for error and a little room for experimentation.
Wendy on Facebook said, my husband and I used to sing karaoke at the bar, but have stopped going. We don't miss the noise, the drunks, or the money we spent on alcohol. We will still have a drink occasionally to celebrate, like when we were married in May. But other than that, we simply don't drink. Maybe having a special occasion makes the champagne a little more bubbly. So, you know, Wendy very much in that feeling like she doesn't need to drink anymore, but also leaving the door open for times when she may decide to.
Well, it's interesting, even at the more extreme end, you know, even for people who are in actively doing 12-step recovery, the majority of people will relapse at some point. And again, I just think there's so much sort of shame around that languaging of relapse. For me, I didn't want to hold myself to what I felt was probably an unrealistic standard of never drinking again, particularly as my drinking hadn't got to the, you know, that really dangerous rock bottom level that I mentioned earlier. And it just felt kind to myself to never say never and simultaneously hold myself to the belief that actually my life is better without alcohol.
Well, we're being the last minute we have or so. If some listeners are realizing that they are super curious themselves, what are some concrete tips that you would give them for trying out being sober?
Well, tomorrow is New Year's Eve, obviously one of the biggest drinking evenings of the year. And if you really want to get a full experience of being sober curious, you could commit to a sober New Year. Why not start tomorrow instead of January 1st and actually try for yourself? Assume that you're going to have just as much fun and really test it out and prove to yourself that you don't need alcohol to enjoy yourself and connect with your friends. I appreciate that might be a little bit extreme for some people, though. So given that we have January coming up, Dry January is now gaining hugely in popularity every year. And this is an opportunity when you can take a month off drinking. And if anyone does ask you those uncomfortable questions, you can say, I'm doing Dry January. I'm seeing how it goes. But my advice would be to assume you're going to continue beyond January. And during that month, really notice and appreciate all the good feelings that come from not drinking alcohol. Appreciate the great sleep that you get. Appreciate how much more confident you feel. Appreciate not feeling nauseous or having to deal with hangovers. And apply that to your thinking about drinking going forward.
Well, Ruby, thanks so much for joining us today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Journalist Ruby Warrington is the author of Sober Curious and the woman who coined the term. If you have thoughts about what it is like if you don't drink or you're thinking about not drinking, things that you might be concerned about or encouragement for others, you can keep the conversation going on the Ideas Network Facebook page.